At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
All right, it is the Lombardi Line, week 15, NFL, a lot of big numbers on the board. We'll get to those in just a bit as we say good morning. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great, Patrick. Good morning. I hope this week, today's games are as good as the Thursday and the Saturday games as we move forward with the week. I hope we get those kind of games being played as we move forward. So it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Last night was interesting, right? A 20-0 lead going into the third, then all of a sudden 17-0 run from the Pats, and then Jonathan Taylor busted that 67-yarder. A little over 2 minutes remaining to kind of seal the deal and the cover for Colts backers, Michael.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting. I was just telling Thomas Gable, I wonder if Hightower makes that tackle, what does Frank Wright call on third and eight? He's right there in the hole. If he makes the tackle, What do you think Frank Wright calls on that play?
I don't know if he called the pass all night, did he?
Well, he had five completions, and I think actually they had five completions, and I'm pretty sure the Patriots had their hands on more balls than five. I mean, J.C. Jackson should have had two picks in the game. So, I mean, look, the Colts were more physical. They won the line of scrimmage against the defense. The Patriots didn't play well, but there's a big but here. That was a really impressive performance by Mac Jones. Anybody who claims that if you can't see that Mac Jones is really good, then stop watching quarterbacks and stop watching football. I mean, I read a tweet yesterday about, well, now we know why the Patriots didn't throw the ball in Buffalo. Are you kidding me? Did you see those throws? Did you see it? I got a text from somebody in the high up in the Colts organization this morning. This guy's really good. I mean, I don't understand why nobody wants to give the guy credit for being good. It's remarkable. But I will say this. The Patriots and the Colts, I think we'll see a rematch. But if the Patriots play to the level that they're capable of playing, I think they're going to be a really hard team to beat. I left that game not disappointed in the Patriots. I left that game really understanding that when they play their best, they'll beat anybody.
Yeah, the Colts jump up to 8-6 into the wild card. They're going to be at Arizona on Christmas, Michael. The Patriots still lead in division, and they're going to host the Bills coming up. They sit 9-5. Uncharacteristic, I'd say one thing that Belichick's going to be frustrated with is the special teams, obviously the blocked punt for the touchdown there.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is right. The rule in New England is you have to avoid losing before you can win, right? Block punt. Eight penalties. I mean, really, eight penalties to three for the Colts, right? Two fumbles, you don't lose them, but you get them back. I mean, it's just sloppy tackling. They didn't play well. They played like a team coming off a bye, even though Indianapolis was coming off a bye, but they didn't practice as well. Mac Jones's comments this morning indicate, we didn't practice very well this week. It looked like it. I don't think they were pristine in their execution. I mean, that deep throw early in the game to Jacoby Myers, it's right on them. And I would say 9 out of 10 times, I've watched the Patriots play all the time. Jacoby Myers makes that catch, and he didn't, and the red zone turnover, killer. you know, killer. Nice little drive going before the end of the half, going to get the ball to start the second half, and he just throws it right to Darius Leonard, something we talked about, right? We said on the show yesterday, you got to look off these defenders because they're a zone concept defense, and they're going to follow your head to the football, and Mac didn't do that. But Mac grew up in that game. Mac kind of grew up in that game, and as we're watching it, Mac's not a rookie anymore. You could see it. I mean, you could see his decision-making, his accuracy, and his ability to lead his team back. There's some building you can do from that game.
Well, your heart was with the Pats for a multitude of reasons, but you could infer throughout the week that you were leaning Colts. And if you missed yesterday's show, this is a big deal because the Lombardi Line is now available as a podcast. Take us with you anywhere. Listen and subscribe. iHeart, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. So yesterday's show is available as a podcast. Today's will be as well. But the inference from you all week was, and it closed 1.5, is that you thought the Colts were in a good spot here.
Yeah, I really did, because I think that the way the new – you see, we keep talking about off bye weeks, and we keep quoting coaches off of bye weeks as if, and with the cumulative record, and certainly with Belichick and Andy Reid because they've been doing it for so long. But these byes are different than before, right? These byes are way different. You've got to give the players a lot of time off, and I think it's hard to get that execution. New England is a program that needs practice. New England is a program that needs player development. New England is a program that needs routine, and they've got to stay in it. And I think that bye hurt their execution. You could see it on the tape. You could see it right on the tape. And so they didn't play well. They played a C game. They played a C game. And I don't know if what game Indianapolis, let's say they played an A game, especially in the offensive line and the running game. But to me, when the rematch happens, I think it'll be a different outcome. I really do.
I have to ask you one thing, Taylor. So impressive, obviously. The kid's awesome. 29 attempts. So Reich, it's incrementally gone up throughout the year where they've kind of saved him in 29 rush attempts for 170, almost 6 a pop there and a touchdown, Michael.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, to me, he's their offense and Reich gets it. That's why I was wondering about the 3rd and 8. What's he do? Does he put the ball in Wentz's hands? He can't, right? You know, because if New England gets that ball back, they are going to go down the field. They're going to kick a field goal or they're going to score a touchdown and win the game. I mean, they had such momentum. Now, they lost Harry on the last drive, which hurt them because they were also lost Aguilar, so they're down receivers. But to me, that break, he breaks the tackle of Hightower, who's not a small man. I mean, Hightower's 250 pounds. That was a tremendous run. This kid, obviously, you know, he's got to be in the MVP conversation because he lifts this offense. And I know they've got to send the first-round pick now to the Philadelphia Eagles for Carson Wentz. But if you're Chris Ballard and you're all the people in Indianapolis, you're a little nervous about expanding this passing game, especially under pressure. I mean, he truly became Ricky Fowler under pressure last night. We called it, Patrick. We did. You know, he's not good under pressure. He makes bad decisions. I mean, the interception he throws to McCourty was a bad decision. The one he almost throws to J.C. Jackson at the beginning of the third quarter was another one. J.C. Jackson catches that ball 9 out of 10 times.
Favorite in the clubhouse right now, MVP, is still Tom Brady. Last we checked, he was minus 150. Second betting favorite is Aaron Rodgers. Here comes our buddy Jonathan Taylor. He's sitting 14-1 on the board right now, jumping up.
I don't think he can win it, but I certainly think he is the straw that stirs their drink. There's no doubt. And they built. And I give Frank Wright credit because Frank Wright is willing to accept that and run the ball and do the things he has to do with Jonathan Taylor. I mean, look, they're 2 for 10 on third down. But that's a little misleading, right, because they were in 3 situations on third down where it was very short, and they went for it. And with a 6'6 quarterback, you know, I think Reich's smart to go for it on fourth down in those situations. People say, you know, nobody's giving Frank Reich credit because he went for it on fourth down. Those fourth down conversions are way different than Brendan Staley's fourth down conversions, right? Let's put that in perspective, because Reich knew during that game that if he got the ball back to New England, New England's offense was humming. They were throwing the ball effectively.
Yeah, wanted to ask you about we talked about the Staley situation, so wanted to carry over. 3 times they went for it on 4th and 1, the Colts got all 3 on sneaks, but you were cool with all 3 of them?
I think he had to. I think that again, that's situational football, right? I think he had to do that because I think what he was doing was saying, look, if I give this ball back to them, you know, they're going to score. They're going to get back in this game. And he knew he needed to take control of the clock. You know, when Belichick went to kick that field goal, what Belichick was thinking, and all the analytical people, you know, were all upset because he didn't go for it. He took the 3 points. But in Belichick's mind, what I think he was thinking, and I didn't talk to him, so I don't know, but this is in my mind, he's thinking, I'm going to get 2 more possessions. I'm going to get 2 more. I'm going to stop them here. I'll get the ball back, and then I'm going to get it again. And if Hightower makes the tackle, right now the margin for error is really slim, really, really slim, really slim. But if Hightower makes that tackle, he might have a second chance at the ball and win the game. He might have it, you know, and so that's why I think he kicked the field goal there. Because if he misses the field goal there and doesn't have points, right, now all of a sudden, Kenny actually, now he's got it. What happens? He's way behind. I don't think he thinks he can get back. I think the most disappointing play of the game, the most disappointing play of the game for a lot of reasons was when they kicked off when Indianapolis was expecting the onside kick. When they kicked off there and they didn't do a good job of tackling him inside the 20, I think that probably annoyed Belichick more than any play in the game.
Two special teams plays probably stand out for him the most yesterday.
No doubt. And look, give Bubba Ventrone, a former Patriot assistant and the special teams coach, I mean, did a great job. I mean, Cody Jones is calling out the protection. They just didn't block the guy. I mean, they didn't block the guy. You could see him calling out the protection. They adjusted the protection. It took a while for that snap to come, and they didn't. This is uncharacteristic of a Belichickian coach team. Three block punts on the season, you know, and no one works more on punt protection than the Patriots do. And they got beat at it. Hats off to the Patriots. Hats off to the Colts.
Yeah, it really is a pretty miraculous turnaround. Although, you know, they've led so often in these games, the Colts, but they still sit here 8-6. They're still alive in division, to be fair, but they're sitting atop the wild card in the AFC
right.
as well.
I mean, that game had all the way of going the other way. Look, I think that game was a lot closer than the score. And I was saying
like
that to a couple. It was way closer than the score. And I think if you understand the dynamics of the game, I think that because New England didn't play their best game. New England was not playing their best. They didn't control the line. And I think not having Damian Harris also hurt them, because without Damian Harris, they don't have that two-back power combo, right? And then Brandon Bolden gets plays extended to him, and I think that becomes a little bit problematic. Not that Bolden's not a good player. I'm not saying that. But it just puts more on his plate, and I think that they missed Harris last night. Not an excuse. Look, the Colts won fair and square. But in football, you've got to handicap both teams, and you've got to understand both teams. And I think both teams are outstanding. I think this could be, if one of them has to play Kansas City, you know, that'll be a challenge. But I think this could be a playoff game again. I said it before. I think it will be again.
It's a hell of a game. Fun game. Enjoyed it. Saturday night.
It really was. You know, it was a strategic game, and it was a game that I think that the Patriots will look back on and saying, look, we can, if we play well, we'll beat anybody. But if we play like this, we'll lose to anybody.
Get the sense Reich knows what he's doing too, right? I mean, he's a good coach.
I give him credit because I think he really, as much as he loves Wentz, I think he understands that I got to protect my team, that the guy who carries our team is Taylor.
Yeah, well put. Okay, so 2-0 start to the week as the trend continues for the favorites, as the Colts cover, of course, a cover on Thursday night as well. Week 15, the most bet game on the board right now, Bills-Panthers. When we come back, we'll discuss some ankles. Josh Allen, it's up to 14. My guess is he's going to play. We'll discuss that and more. Week 15 here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024. And we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
All right, football season is here. It's time to download BetMGM Sports. It's Nevada's premier sports betting app. It has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino here on the Strip. Bring that Nevada ID. You're betting within minutes. Got to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Lombardi Line, Week 15. We got you back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, he's Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata in Jersey. It's going to be a busy day. It's going to be an exciting day as we take a look at the board here. We talked about the game in Buffalo. Yesterday, it was sitting somewhere 12-ish, 13. Guess what? Josh Allen's playing because this number has jumped to 14.5 with Carolina in town. Josh Allen's going to give it a go, Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, and I think that the reaction to the loss last night by the Patriots gives some juice to Buffalo, and I think bettors see this as an opportunity that Buffalo's not going to pass this up, that Buffalo's going to come out and kind of put them away quickly and beat them by more than two touchdowns. And Buffalo has had a history of playing really well against poorer teams, and they've been able to really put them away. Derek Brown, the defensive lineman for the Carolina Panthers, he's not on the COVID list. So this fits up perfectly, and you can see why a lot of people are betting Buffalo, because they feel like, look, they're going to come out and they're going to get control of this game just like they did against Houston or Washington early in the season, and their offense will click.
Yep, well put. 14.5, that's a big number. A great point about the added juice with the Patriots losing and the in-division showdown coming up this week, and a Carolina team that's struggling. What do you expect from Cam in this matchup here?
Look, I think Carolina, the formula for beating them, I mean, they've lost three out of the last four games, right? You know, and so the formula for beating them is you got to run the ball. You got to be physical. You got to do what Indianapolis did. You got to do what New England did, not to the extreme of New England, because I don't think the weather's going to be as prohibitive as it was on that day. But I think you've got to do it as you got to run the ball. You got to control the clock. You got to have a lot of quarterback runs. You got to stay out of a lot of third downs. And you've got to keep Josh Allen in the pocket. You got to force him to play quarterback. Force him to not run around and let him be the leading rusher on the team. Challenging for Carolina. But look, Carolina's defense is good. And they need to play good. They didn't play good last week. I mean, that was really as bad as Cam was and as bad as their – we know their offense is limited. Their best player's not playing. You know, they only have a couple COVID cases with Derek Brown. McCaffrey's got COVID, even though he's on IR. He's out anyway. And then Matt Barkley, the backup quarterback. So I think this is a game where Carolina's defense has to take control, because the weakness of Buffalo is their offensive line. And you've got to be able to pressure Allen, just like Jacksonville did. Jacksonville was able to put pressure on Allen with their front four.
If you want to lay a big price with Buffalo, careful. Panthers 8-1 ATS their last 9 as a road dog, 11-5 ATS their last 16 as a dog overall. That is Carolina. Okay, we shift to Baltimore. The question now, it appears it's a bone bruise. That's what Schefter was reporting this morning with Jackson, Michael. Whether or not he plays, game time decision. We do know the number indicates he may not. Green Bay is sitting 7 in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, I was told he's not going to play. So I think that number is very much of an indication he's not going to play. I'm told that he may miss next week. You know, this is the old, you know, hey, Kyler Murray might play. He might play. Oh, he's not going to play. And all of a sudden, he's not going to play next week. You know, we'll get to Cincinnati later. But for me, this is an interesting game because the Packers are missing three offensive linemen as well. And this secondary for the Ravens is completely beat up. Completely beat up. Mm-hmm. And one of their starting safeties is out. So, you know, you're talking about a depleted defense against an offensive line that's got a lot of beat up players. Now, we know Rodgers is going to play, even though our board indicates he's not. There's nobody's declared. This is the funny game, Patrick. On our board, the betting board, where we get all the offshore numbers and everything, it's still Green Bay and Baltimore still don't have a quarterback registered. So
yeah, Rodgers is going to give it a go.
But we know Rodgers is going to go. And against a very depleted secondary, you know, this is going to be a real challenge for the Baltimore defense. I think they're going to try to encourage the Packers to run the football. You know, run it. Give them a front that they'll run the ball and try to reduce the game and stay in it. I don't think Lamar's going to play, so I think it's going to be a challenge for Baltimore's offense to really generate a lot. Now, Green Bay's missing Kenny Clark inside, so that really hurts them as well. But these two outside rushers, that's really been the difference, Gary and Smith.
BetMGM reporting Bills-Panthers is the most heavily bet game. As far as handle, the Packers are the most heavily bet over at BetMGM. Michael, two things on offense. One, Watkins is out, COVID.
Yep.
And Marquise Brown, who is ill, looks like he's going to give it a go at wide receiver.
Right. And, you know, again, it's all going to come predicated on who's going to play, you know, who's playing quarterback. And I think they got to be able to, you know, you're going to have to run the ball on Green Bay. You got to reduce the game. You've got to reduce the game. If you're Baltimore, you've got to try to find a way to reduce the game and limit the amount of time that Mr. Rodgers is in the neighborhood. You got to limit that. You can't let him have it and throw it because he's going to throw it all over the place against this depleted secondary. I mean, they can't cover. Now, they're going to try to take Davante Adams out of the game, but, you know, we'll see what happens. There's no Randall Cobb, but Scaling, can he do? Can he make a play? Can Lazard? Can the tight end? It's a challenge for Baltimore, and they want to blitz and play man-to-man, but they're going to have to change their entire style on how to play this game. I think it's going to be a challenge. I really do.
You're feeling good if you're Baltimore as far as Huntley. Played very, very well in relief last week, Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, but I think in those situations, you know, when a guy comes in off the bench, the defensive coordinator, this is why Al Davis used to make the defensive coordinator for the Raiders study every college quarterback. Because when you have that quick shift in a game, you've got to really have a great recall of what you're playing and what you need to do and change your defensive of game plan to fit the player you're going against. And I think sometimes defensive coordinators get caught off guard in that situation, whereas now you've had a week to prepare. I don't think the Packers have had any illusions that Lamar Jackson's going to play. I think everybody thinks he's not, right? Now, maybe he shocks us all and he plays, but from what I'm told, he won't. And I think they've prepared for, you know, Huntley to play.
So the Packers can clinch the North today with a win and a tire loss coming up Monday from the Vikings. Baltimore in a good spot as a dog here. They're 3-0 ATS as a dog this season. Speaking of Minnesota, just quickly, a note that came down today, kind of a big one. Breshad Breeland has been cut by the Vikings. He started all 13 games at cornerback, a veteran there for the team.
Yeah, no, you know, and he mouthed off to the coaches, and they just said enough is enough, and they moved in another direction. I mean, you know, to save your culture, you got to get rid of the players that are affecting your culture, and obviously this kid was doing it. That's another interesting line, Patrick. I mean, that's a real fast. That line was 3.5, and then
it's
shot up to 5, and it, now it's at 6. And here's the thing that's so unbelievable about this game is we know Minnesota is always in close games, A. B, they don't play well in Chicago, right? I mean, it's hard for them in Chicago, and, you know, they have trouble getting control of the game defensively. Look at the fourth quarter against Pittsburgh.
Well, it's well put. By the way, Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette expected to play despite dealing with the injury. It looks like Brown is going to be good to go as well. That coming up tonight. So we've had an about face from Bruce Arians. He all of a sudden he's a big fan. Excuse me. Bruce Arians is run by Tom Brady, and Tom Brady said, No. Antonio Brown's going to stick around, Bruce. Sit down, Mr. Biscuit.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Look.
Look at you, kid.
What do you want me to say?
You're gobsmacked. I got you, bro. It's 11, by the way. New Orleans in town with your boy Taysom.
And, I mean, other than the playoff game, and even in that game, you know, they played New Orleans. New Orleans plays Tampa well. I mean, 11's a lot of points. If there's one dog you want to take, and what concerns me about this game more than ever is the offensive line of New Orleans. They're missing both their tackles. both starting tackles. Now, they've missed both starting tackles for a while, so that's been a problem. I mean, but last week Armstead played, but now he's hurt. So James Hurst has to go over there, you know, and Jordan Mills is going to play right tackle. This is not the kind of team you want to not have your starting tackles play, especially with the Bucs' defensive front, especially with the Bucs' ability to pressure with Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, and all their guys that they can. So this is a tough matchup for me. I really see this, but look, Taysom Hill's back. It lets them have quarterback runs. Kamara's back. Hard to run the ball on Tampa Bay. Hard to run the ball on Tampa Bay. They're going to have to throw it. Do they make enough explosive plays, especially with those two tackles out? That's a hard one. 11's a lot. 11's a lot. I could see people taking this number because of pass. But the past is way different now without your best play caller, Sean Payton, and without your two tackles.
Good point. If you're just getting involved in wagering and you take a look at the board here on a week 15, this is not an anomaly. This is not COVID chaos that you're seeing all these double-digit favorites. Business decisions are made this late in the season, to put it kindly.
Yeah.
And motivation is there's a big divergence as far as motivation for many of these teams.
The book is trying to lure you into taking some dogs. You know, the favorites killed last week, and the favorites have started off so far this week doing well. You know, and so I think that's more than anything. I think there's these lines. I mean, there's certainly taxes put into some of these lines. I mean, the Mike Lennon tax for the Giants. I mean, that's a tax, you know. You would easily think, okay, 10.5, the Giants usually play pretty well against the Cowboys, especially at home. You know, Dak's not playing well. That's a lot of points, 10.5, you know. But then do you want to really bet Mike Lennon? Are you willing to do that? And then the Giants have no secondary. Are you willing to do that? I know the line that Vinny quotes all the time. Sharps play numbers. I get that. But as I always tell Josh McDaniels, they're not Applebaum. It's Coke machines if you do that. You got to look at the game, and the Giants are beat up.
It is a Sunday, so I'm going to send a quick prayer. Please, Lord, don't let the Glennon family watch this show. When we come back, Will Hill's going to join me. I mean, Mike Glennon just gets crushed. You know what? His bank account makes him feel better. When we come back, we'll get to our
money. Sure. God bless him. God bless him.
God bless Mike Glennon. We come back, Will Hill, next here in Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
All right, First Bet Express Bet. Get in on all the horse racing action. Sign up today with the promo code Vegas1000 over at Express Bet and receive $10 instantly and up to a $1,000 bonus. Visit for everything horse racing. Go to vsin.com/horses for details. It's vsin.com/horses. Use the bonus code Vegas1000. Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata. Sorry, I'm guessing it's chilly there. It was like 20-something degrees when I was driving in here in Vegas today. So it's
yeah. It's starting to get cold here now. We were warm, and then it's going to get cold. So, and it's rainy, and the weather's kind of – it is December, as the great Bill Berman would say. Expect what we're going to – you know, what are we going to expect in December? You know, we got to get our mittens out, and we got to get our hats on, and, you know, deal with it, right? We live in the East, you know. That's part of the deal.
I dare you to do the show with mittens on, by the way. Show us your mittens.
I don't have mittens. Oh, my hands are always cold, though, but I don't have mittens. It's like –
All right, our buddy Will Hill, he's chilling in Connecticut there. Of course, he's got his mittens on. It's the New York City cast, and we say hi. Good morning, Will. How are you?
What's going on, guys? Not too many of these left. Got to enjoy them while we can. I'm excited for all the football.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, yep. We've got a theme of catching the hook for you today, which our buddy Stephen Bond put together. Very clever, Stephen. 4.5. We'll start with the Texans. You're actually going to fade the bump for Meyer leaving here with the Jags.
This is just on principle. The Jaguars should not be 4.5, 5-point favorites over anybody. The Texans have actually owned this series for whatever it's worth. They've beaten them 7 in a row. They've beaten them 13 out of 15. As much as we talk about the NFL, I don't think it's gotten enough coverage how bad Lawrence has been. He's been awful. And you could put it all on Meyer. You could put it all on the offense. He's made some terrible throws. He's really, if you're the Jaguars, you got to be a little bit concerned about how he's played. The Texans already beat him. To me, this is just on principle. You can't give any sort of home field for the Jaguars. That crowd, they'll be half asleep there in Jacksonville, and I don't blame them. If this game was on in my backyard, I'd draw the blinds. Give me the Texans here plus the 4.5. Just do not make me watch.
It is 5.5 now, just to be clear. You may have gotten a better number, but we're all the way up to 5.5 here, Michael.
Let me take the other side on this equation here. First of all, Houston's two starting linebackers, Kruger Hill and Kirksey, are out with COVID. Two of the five offensive linemen for the Houston Texans are out. And those two are backups. So now we got backups to the backups. And the one thing I think if you watch Jacksonville tape during the season, the defensive front plays pretty well. I mean, they did last week against Tennessee. Tennessee struggled with them as well. I just think, to me, Davis Mills, the rookie quarterback, against Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence will be able to think he can throw the ball against this cover two, which relies on the speed of the linebackers, which they're not going to have. So I do think it opens up a little bit of offense for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Plus, I think he could run the ball. And I think with Urban out of there, they might run the ball a little bit with James Robinson. So I agree with Will. Jacksonville shouldn't be favored by anybody. But I think this Houston team is really, really bad. And it's badder because of the COVID.
When a relationship is bad, you make up, break up, you get that dopamine hit when you get back together. That's like Will Hill and the Detroit Lions. You just can't quit. You can't quit them.
He loves it.
You can't. You get the dopamine hit. You love betting the Lions, and today you're going to take the 13 with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, this applies to all the games. Be wary, because last week, Thursday and Sunday, the favorites went 11-2 against the spread. There weren't really any upsets other than the Panthers beating the Falcons beating the Panthers. Thomas Gable has a way of getting his money back. These dogs have a way of making a comeback. I like the Lions here. I was against them last week. I thought that was a tough spot going to Denver off of a win in altitude. I thought they would get buried having the flu go around. So I don't hold that against them. Going into last week, they were 8-4 against the spread. They've been feisty. They've been in a lot of these games. It took a miracle for the Ravens to beat them. They could have beaten the Vikings twice. You know, they led the Packers at halftime. To me, 12.5 with no Hopkins is a lot of points at home in Detroit. Detroit, you know, keeps playing. They call timeouts, you know, down 21 with a minute left. Why, I don't know. But this team, I think, will be in this game. It's ugly. It has a chance of looking bad, but I'm going to take the Lions here plus the 12.5.
Of course, Arizona, you know, in town.
Yeah, Arizona. I mean, look, that this is, you know, I agree, Hopkins. I didn't think Hopkins was healthy before he hurt the MCL. So I do think that affects their offense and, you know, puts a lot of pressure on Kirk and A.J. Green. And Connor may not be 100% in this game, too. So, you know, Murray's got to play better. I think that's the one thing. He's coming off the injury. The last two games for Kyler Murray, he hasn't played as well. He only threw the ball, I think, like 15 times against Chicago and for 120-some yards. And then last week, he did not play well, despite the numbers. He really cost them the game in terms of his inability to hit the open receivers. Got A.J. Green running for a touchdown early in the game, and he misses them. So, you know, if Murray plays like he did last week, I think Detroit will cover.
Will, the next one up, of course, our buddy Will Hill here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. You were going to lay the 9.5 with the 49ers. I'll give you a better number. How about 8.5 with Atlanta in town?
Yeah, usually San Fran's not a margin team. They're not a team that wins by double digits. They play a lot of these close games. But if you look at the numbers, man, this is kind of a mismatch, despite the records where they're similar. The Falcons have been outscored by 108 points. Some of the metrics, I know DVO has them as the 32nd worst, the 32nd team in the league, the worst team in the league. The Niners, to me, are a good team, a dangerous team. I think they win this game by 10-plus points. You always have to worry with San Francisco's secondary about a backdoor cover, but I just think San Francisco is much better up front, both sides of the ball. I like San Francisco here laying the points.
I think when you look at this game on paper, and certainly when I do my power rankings, that's all paper, right? It's all statistical data. I mean, I have this as 11.25 game. San Francisco should be favored, you know, because Atlanta's numbers are atrocious. And if you ever took Cordell Patterson out of those numbers, they'd be even worse. So, you know, on paper, this is clearly a 49er play. But like Will said, 49ers tend to play games down to their opponent, especially at home.
I just realized I don't think I've ever seen your boy Mutton Chops Arthur Smith speak, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And I don't know if there's a more nondescript team, Will Hill, this year than the Atlanta Falcons sitting 6-7. I mean, they're in the mix, I guess. You could make an argument for them, but it's just so nondescript this year.
Yeah, and if you bet the over 7 wins, you're probably at least going to get a push. I mean, they got 4 chances here to win one game. I do want to add one thing. Jimmy Smith, I just saw, tested positive, the Ravens corner for COVID. So Jimmy Smith is out for the Ravens today.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That secondary, Michael, the Ravens secondary, out. I mean, they're just completely decimated.
And Mr. Rogers is coming to town. And, you know, and they're going to have to do everything in their power to try to encourage him to call run plays and figure they can win the game. Maybe they could slow the game down and, you know, keep it lower scoring than if they give up the big chunk plays. Challenging day for Baltimore. Baltimore somehow comes out of this. They always find a way. But, look, the last time they played at home against Joe Burrow in that passing game, they couldn't cover and they were healthier.
Have to ask you, Will, tomorrow night, Minnesota jumped from 3.5 up to 6. Favoritism there in Chicago.
I think that's based on who Chicago's missing. Just historically, that has been a house of horrors for the Vikings. I think they've lost 16 out of their last 21. They've lost 5 out of 6 in this matchup together, just combined. Tough matchup for the Vikings. They never trust them. The Vikings are the better team. They just struggle in that building for whatever reason. Thielen is questionable. You figure the Vikings will find a way to win the game, but I can't trust them to lay 6 on the road against anybody. They're just too conservative in these games. The Steeler game, I mean, look, they just let their opponent hang around. Now, they do have 10 days of rest, but I just can't lay 6 with them.
Would you take it's a heavy number, right, Michael?
It is a lot. I agree with him. It's hard. I mean, I have a hard time. I'm different than most handicappers. I have a hard time. The number is important, but the name of the coach bothers. Can I turn in with Matt Nagy? I mean, seriously. I mean, I just don't see that one.
You know, it would be great if Matt Nagy all of a sudden, well, he did have your boy he did have Glennon as a quarterback at one point. I was going to say, if we put those two together, that'd be a perfect match for you.
You got to bet against bad quarterbacks. I think this is where we are in this part of the season. Bet against bad quarterbacks because the book is given these numbers are inflated, and you got to bet against bad quarterbacks.
Would you take last night from the Colts cover, Will Hill?
Good game. I mean, that was a physical game. It got chippy. I thought it was fun. I thought a play, it didn't end up mattering, but I didn't understand why it was offsetting personal fouls between Pittman and Duggar, unless I missed something. That was a critical play because it was 3rd and 3, fringe field goal range. It would have given the Colts a first down in the red zone up 20-0. It didn't look like Pittman did a whole lot. I mean, Duggar was throwing punches. Pittman was just taking them, and they got offsetting personal fouls. It really could have swung the game. Of course, Badgley ends up missing the kick. That guy's going to cost the Colts. He is not a good kicker. You can't trust that guy. But, you know, fun game. I think it's very possible we see a rematch. Colts are a good team. They're dangerous.
Yep, 100%. Now, again, I don't know if you've checked out property, whether it's eCourse or Royal Oak or Clawson, Michigan, but you should really look into it. I mean, you are a big Honolulu blue and silver guy.
Look, I tell you what, he loves, and you know, my man will play some bad. You know, I'm shocked he's not on the Jets today. I'm shocked he loves going on the Jets.
Oh, really? So you have something there, Mr. New York?
I have standards. I cannot do Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's terrible. He's going to be out of the league in 4 years. He's not an NFL quarterback. I'm just telling you.
Okay. 10 starts in. He gone. By the way, that number is, where are we sitting with the Jets?
That's up to 10. That's up to 10.
Oh, Miami's laying 10 in that one. My goodness.
Yeah, 10. Miami's laying 10.
These are protection.
This is going to be a hard game for. We can talk about it after the break, but Zach Wilson against zero blitz coverage, I think it's problematic.
All right, Detroit, Will. Again, it's the New York City cast from a guy that loves Michigan. Thank you, Will. Appreciate you.
All right, see you guys.
VSiN.com/podcasts for more information and Point Spread Weekly as well. When we come back, Josh is going to join us on Market Report. Don't forget, you can follow Michael, VSiN.com. Us on @VSiN Live, I should say, and Michael Lombardi, M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter. We're coming back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time. We hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question. I promise you have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, it's BetMGM today, the king of sportsbooks. You place a $10 moneyline wager on any pro football game. If any team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $200 paid for in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code VSIN200, VSIN200, on your first bet. Okay, it's like you've never had it before over at BetMGM. It's awesome. VSIN200, anybody scores a touchdown, a $10 investment could win you $200 paid for in free bets. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Reward issued as a non-withdrawable free bet on site. It's 1-800-GAMBLER for more information. Lombardi Line Week 15. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata. We bring in for our first market report of the day, Josh Applebaum. Market Insights is the pod, VSiN.com/podcast. I think this is awesome. So it's COVID chaos. What you've come with today is some Week 15 COVID betting tips, Josh, as we say good morning. Hi.
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Michael. Happy NFL Week 15 here, guys. And yeah, you know, just when we're going into this week, number one, I think you guys mentioned it, Michael mentioned it, favorites have been killing it. If you actually go back since Week 13, remember, this has been a big dog year really up until the last couple weeks. But since Week 13, favorites 21-9 ATS, 70%. John Ewing pointed out on Twitter, if you're a favorite of 7 or more since Week 13, you're 12-1 ATS. So I think this might set up for a regression-type week. You know, the sportsbooks have been taking a hit recently with all these chalk favorites doing well. So maybe you're looking towards some dogs and some inflated numbers to take advantage of today. But specifically, guys, just some COVID-based betting tips, because I think, you know, we're all in this together. We're all trying to deal with these crazy line moves, like, you know, Vegas and Cleveland. Cleveland opened -6. All the COVID dropped it all the way to Vegas -3. Now you're getting some Cleveland guys who could play. It's back to Cleveland -3. So kind of just some tips today, guys. I think it's the hardest week of the NFL this week to try to figure out where the sharp money is, predicting COVID stuff. It's just a difficult week. So I think this is the best week to be selective, limit your bets. You know, if you, let's say you make maybe 5 bets every NFL Sunday, maybe today you make 1 or 2. Lean on teasers as well. If you want to bet against these COVID teams, I would tease down their opponent, get a little bit of wiggle room, increase your chances of winning to kind of limit this volatility here. Try not to lay the worst of the number, like Carolina Buffalo, guys. If Buffalo, you know, rolls and wins by 21, you're like, what? It doesn't matter. I should have laid the 14, but they opened -10. So I just don't think laying the worst of the number after the line has moved is really a smart move in general. Obviously, shop around with all this COVID stuff. Different books have different numbers. One book might have a -3. One might have a 2.5. Then lastly, tip of the cap to Michael Lombardi, who really hammered this home for me when we first started doing Lombardi lines. Work backwards. Eliminate games first. I think a lot of bettors look at a slate and say, hey, I want to bet this. I want to bet this. But think of it the other way. Eliminate the COVID games. Eliminate the games with crazy line moves. If you don't want any part of the volatility, scratch those off and kind of isolate games that you like. And again, work backwards, not really looking at games first, eliminate games first.
Good one. Let's start there. Let's start with where he ended. And that's what we call a Hall and Oates play, Michael Lombardi. Why don't you let the audience know on a weekend here, a John Oates play, how you just eliminate when you look at the board.
You know, there's just certain games that you're just hard to handicap, but especially now, as Josh mentioned about the COVID, I mean, it's just really difficult. There are games that you don't understand. I mean, like Houston, Jacksonville, everybody is caught up with Jacksonville because of the emotion and with Urban being gone. Certainly that's going to have a huge impact. But I think what they're missing the boat on is Houston, and they're not paying attention to the COVID injuries on Houston. Houston has two starting linebackers. Both guys play well for them in their defense. They're not a good team by no means. They don't score a lot of points, but their defense plays for about 45 minutes well. And without those two guys, I don't think they'll play 40 minutes well. You know, I think they'll be down to about 30 minutes as opposed to 45. And then offensively, they lose two starting offensive linemen, and their offensive line was a disaster. So you're thinking this line is moving because of Urban Meyer, but it's moving because of COVID. And unless you can really get your hands around it, I think you should just lay off games.
Okay, well put. So, Josh, we were talking to Will about the Jets at Miami. That number jumped from 8.5 up to 10 with Miami laying it. Let's start there with your cap.
Yeah, so this is a game where we're seeing some respective money hit the Miami Dolphins, and I think they're in a really good teaser spot, as Will Hill mentioned. So you look at the Jets. They're 3-10. Right now they would get the fourth pick overall, 1-5 their last six. They're on really the downstretch here. You look at Miami, though, and again, differing motivations. Miami unlikely to make the playoffs, but they're quote-unquote in the hunt. You start 1-7. You've won five straight. You're coming off a bye now. If you look at favorites off a bye like Miami, 57% ATS the last decade. Now, we saw Miami actually open -8.5. It's gotten all the way up to 10. And this was kind of 9.5, 8.5 to 9.5 throughout the week. That next move up to 10 is meaningful because there's been really no buyback here on the Jets. Miami's only getting 59% of bets. So this isn't like a team getting 90% of bets that has a line move in their favor. It's relatively split. Yet the Lions going to Miami. If you look at double-digit favorites, guys, at home this year, they're 13-8, 62%. And the advantage, I think, here, guys, is Miami's defense, you know, or actually Miami's offense. They're both only scoring about 19 a game, but Miami's only giving up 22 defensively. Jets are giving up 31. I think this is a teaser spot. You take a -10 down to -4, give yourself some wiggle room, bet against Zach Wilson. And also, Michael, there was some under money there. Open 43 down to 42. 58% of bets on the under, but 86% of dollars on the under. Late season divisional under is 57%. I would tease down the Dolphins here, and you could maybe tease up the total and look at that under.
You know, I think the last time they played, Flacco played. Remember, that was the controversial game. Why are you playing Flacco and not Mike White? Because Mike White had played well. But Flacco could handle those blitz zero coverage. Now we're going to get Zach Wilson in it. I mean, the last time they played, you know, Flacco played really well, and Miami still won by 7. Now you replace Flacco with Zach Wilson. This, to me, if you're playing Miami in the 9.5, I don't think Miami's better than any team. 9.5. This is a statement against a bad quarterback or a quarterback who's not ready to handle pressure right now. And I think that's why I like Miami here at 9.5. It opened up this morning. I posted it today when we do the lines. But to me, that's why. Miami can move the football effectively against a bad Jet defense. And then, B, I think Wilson will turn the ball over 3 times in this game, which will allow Miami to build the lead.
For many, the most perplexing number of the week, even with some big numbers, is Denver laying the 3, hosting Cincy. Josh, where are you?
Yeah, so I think Michael and I may disagree on this one, but I like Denver in this spot, guys. What really jumped out to me is if you look at BetMGM, you know, Denver's getting only like 29% of bets. 71% of bets are on the Cincinnati Bengals here. Both teams in the hunt, both 7-6. Overall, you know, as of right now, you would look at the Bengals here as the 9 seed, Denver as a 10 seed. So it's a huge game for both teams if they want to make the playoffs. But what really jumped out to me, guys, this reminds me a lot of the Browns against the Ravens last week, where the popular bet was the road team, yet the line kind of reverse line moved to that home team. Remember, we had the Cleveland Browns open -1.5. They got all the way up to 3. Now, if you laid the 3 late or the 2.5, you lost because they only won by 2. This is a money line play for me, guys. Everybody's betting Cincy, yet that line moved from Denver -1.5 up to the key number -3 at -150 on the money line. To me, I want to be with this, this respected money, but I also don't want to lay the worst of the numbers. This is a money line play on the Broncos, guys. In my opinion, also the under open 44.5 down to 44. Denver's 10-3 to the under this year, and if you look at the total when it's 45 or less, these lower end totals, they've hit to the under 56% this year. But Michael, I think you might be leaning Bengals in this one.
Yeah, because I see the money on Denver. I mean, I see it here on my board. 33% of the money is the tickets are on Denver, but 67% of the money, the line's moving, and I don't understand it. Like, I was having a conversation here this morning with a really well-known sharp that lives here at the building, and I asked him who he liked. He said, I love Cincinnati today. And I said, I do too, but I don't understand this. Like, I don't understand why this line's moving. I think Denver's a nice team. I do worry about Cincinnati's offensive line, but I'm going to take Burrow in this game. I think Burrow will throw the ball. I know Cincinnati has trouble protecting him, but I think when you watch that second half of that San Francisco game, you know, he got him back in the game. He takes hits and keeps on ticking. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't understand it. It's been a confusing game for me all week. I thought there was somebody making a position in this game, you know, making a statement, and I asked the Sharp who knows that guy who makes the position, and he said he hadn't heard anything about that.
Finally, Josh, the Tennessee opened 2.5 at Pittsburgh. Most books got to pick them now, so money going Pittsburgh's way. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm going Pittsburgh on the money line, guys. This reminds me a lot of the Colts game yesterday. Remember, that was kind of a popular play Patriots. Same thing here, popular play Tennessee. Yet, we're seeing a dog-to-fave line move toward the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of these books open, as you mentioned, Patrick, Tennessee laying 2.5 on the road. We've actually seen it completely flip now to Steelers minus 1.5. Now, we are seeing a little buyback right now. I think the 1.5, and maybe there were some teasers there on Tennessee. That 1.5 with the Steelers is now down to 1. I see some pick-ems there. But, and remember, we saw some late movement back to the Patriots last night, you know, 2.5 down to 1. So even though you're getting maybe a little late movement back toward Tennessee, if you look at the start to now, it's all been moving toward the Steelers, guys. So you have a rest advantage here. You know, the Steelers last played Thursday versus Sunday here for Tennessee. Also, it's a buy low spot where really the Steelers have struggled here. You know, they're only 1-3 their last 4. They have the 6th worst ATS rate this year. They're only 5-8 ATS. So public bettors who have bet on the Steelers have lost. That makes me kind of want to buy low on them. And guys, this is an overplay too. It opened 41.5 to the total. It's up to now 43.5 or 44. 65% of bets, but 87% of money is on the over. And actually, it's a misconception, guys. It's going to be really cold in Pittsburgh. But when it's really cold, 30 degrees or less, the over is actually 55%. It's really only wind that really benefits unders.
Michael, hold off on your comments because I want to let you stretch out on that one. Titans Steelers, we're going to start the top of the second hour there. Fascinating as, again, that number, a pick'em as the Titans open 2.5. Josh, great job. Market Insights is the pod. You couldn't come back and run the board with us, okay?
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Josh.
Josh_insights. Come back and get Michael's take on that. Titans, Steelers. I can't figure out the Steelers. And then I want to circle back to that Bengal game as we continue here. Week 15, Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.